Good morning, everyone. I hope you are having a good Lord's Day morning. We're thankful for, again, it's already been mentioned in our prayers and announcement, for the beautiful day we have, chance to be with one another, at least in this capacity, and looking forward to the opportunity the next week that we can be able to see one another again face to face. Let's continue to pray as we work through all these issues we're facing, trying to be wise, and hopefully we can get things back to normal in a brief period of time. But again, it's in the Lord's hands, and we take what we're given. We're taking the opportunity and the circumstances we have, and we go forward. This morning, I want to talk with you about, again, the theme that we've been dealing with in a lot of our sermons about, okay, how do we handle these very unusual times, very difficult times? And I want to talk to you about that. My sermon title is called Emerging Priorities, and let's get into that if we could. We talk about the direction of our lives. It's important to understand that God knows how to open and expose hearts. Now, a lot of people, you don't just see them on the surface. You don't know what they're thinking. You don't know who they are. And Lord wanted people to see themselves so they can make a decision to make some changes and trust God. Mary heard this very chilling prophecy given by Simeon at the birth of Jesus. Simeon said in Luke 2:34, it says, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also." Now, notice this last phrase, "that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." God wants everybody to see what's in their heart and hopefully choose to serve him. But the problem that we have, brethren, all of us do, that we tend to not want that open heart surgery. We tend at times to maybe conceal things. And I think we all go through this process. And sometimes the biggest people we deceive is ourselves. We can be drifting. We can allow things in our heart we shouldn't have. And how the Lord opens hearts, if you notice that context, it's not some gentle little easy thing, but there's pain and opposition. And even Mary was told this, that a sword will pierce through your own soul. Even as we have good hearts, there will be occasions in pain and difficulty where we get a chance to see our heart. And again, brethren, we're not perfect, but we do need to have a loyal heart, a heart with proper priorities, that we, even in those times of pain, that we can see the next step we need to take in our spiritual growth. You know, Jesus wants us to see what he sees, and he wants us to trust him. You know, one of the challenges we face if we're in any assembly of Christians, you look out, and I trust that everyone's heart is good and pure. But the truth is, I don't know. The very fact that people have chosen to be baptized into Christ and identified with a local congregation, in almost certainty, you would have everyone who has the right kind of heart in serving God, but that's not always the case. Sometimes there are those who may have never obeyed the gospel. There may be those who, for whatever reason, have allowed their hearts to go into bitterness and various kinds of other issues that have pulled them away from God. John talked about Jesus. He had people coming to him, "We love you, Jesus. We trust you." And Jesus knew what was in their heart. Ministry of Jesus started off very popular with a lot of followers, and then by the end, a lot of people dropped off. And here's what happened. Jesus knew that he had men following him, that it was all about them, and it was not about God. And Jesus, this is said of Jesus, John 2:24, but Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And so, again, we're talking about direction, the fact you're here, the fact we're streaming a service, the fact you're looking at the scriptures should be saying about all of us, Lord, we want to grow. We want to know. Help us. But see, not everyone is that way. The struggle in evangelism is not that we don't have the message to help people, but we've got to get the hearts in a position where they want to know. And could I tell you, Jesus could open hearts But he reached very few people that he opened their hearts, because God has given us the will to say no. And if we wish, we can close our eyes and lower our head, and we can say, we're not going to change. And guess what? God will let you do that. And that's to your own eternal condemnation. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. Now notice that the word loved here, because their deeds were evil. Now look at verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. And so now for us, brethren, pain is an opportunity. Being humbled by circumstances and situations is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity to better know God's will and also to know ourselves. So let's talk about that word priority. What is a priority? To me, I think a great verse that will illustrate what a priority is Luke 16:13. You may not have thought about it in this way, but notice some of the language here. And how Jesus is talking about the overall direction of your life. What is purpose? The ultimate priority. Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Here we talk about money, but there's many things we can put. What takes the place of God? Are we serving God with He as our top priority? And you're going to see this. Priorities can be known. And certainly, if we're wanting to know it, we can clearly see it. But notice we take the definition of priority. One definition is the fact or condition of being regarded or treated as more important. Another definition is the right to take precedence or to proceed before others. Brethren, we can conceal our hearts. One more time, as we think about our lives, you know, sometimes I pretend. You know, there's sometimes I pretend I'm going to die. And you know what? I may die 8 hours of the day, and then at night I get ice cream and cookies and something else. And it's interesting, and this is not a serious matter, but sometimes I kind of play at things. I kind of convince myself I'm on this goal of trying to accomplish something when really it's not true. I my priorities are not really there. And I know in insignificant things, that's not a problem. But it gives you this overall concept of how we can say one thing and be another. We can say one thing, but we haven't quite yet made up our mind that's what we're going to do and be. And so again, we can talk about exposing the heart. Jesus dealt with people that were religious leaders. These religious leaders considered themselves spiritual and they loved God. But you know what? They were filled with deceit. They didn't come to Jesus and say, let's find the truth. They came to Jesus kind of like our political realm today. Let's twist anything he says and turn it against him. Let's take something he's done because we hate him, and we're going to make it into something that it's not. Notice Luke 10:25. Here a man came asking Jesus a question, but Jesus knew that his priorities were not truth. Notice the language used here. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? This idea of testing Jesus was that he was trying to trap him. But it's interesting. Jesus turned it around and says, what do you say? And he answered the question correctly. About putting God first, loving God with all your soul, heart, and spirit, loving your neighbor as yourself. And it's interesting, Jesus quickly got this man in a predicament. After he said you ought to love God and love your neighbor, in verse 28, he said to them, you have answered rightly, do this and you will live. Now, you would think it would end there, but you know what? His heart was pricked. He was now uncomfortable. He had just admitted he had to love his neighbor. And these guys were just known for throwing people away, hating people, despising people. And notice verse 29, here he is, that heart is uncomfortable. It's starting to be opened up. He's wanting to close it. So now he's this smart lawyer just gave the answer of the most important commands in Scripture. And now he doesn't know what those commands mean. Look at verse 29. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" I look at this, I go, really? You don't know who your neighbor is? I mean, here you are, the religious leader. You quoted the verse. But you see, here is the sign of somebody with a disloyal heart. He says, "I love God," but he doesn't. He really doesn't want to say he loves his neighbor. And so Jesus gives the parable about the Good Samaritan. And you remember the parable. It was the Jewish people that left to die. And it was Samaritan that came and helped the fella. And so at the conclusion of this parable, Jesus answered a simple question, verse 36. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Poor old lawyer. Here Jesus now has opened up his heart. And here he's going to have to admit, although he can't say the word Samaritan, and he said, "He who showed mercy on him." And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." To be able to see our hearts. But you see, it's not just the Pharisees that Jesus does this with. Jesus, when he wrote to the seven churches of Asia, we get an idea of what he would say to us right now, every one of us as Christians. Now, again, notice that the seven churches of Asia, he tells them where they're at and tells them how to get back right with God, or he tells them they're in a good place and don't give it up. We'll be developing one of these verses later, Revelation 2:4. He told the church at Ephesus, "You've left your first love." In Revelation 2:9. There's one church, he says, "I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you're rich." And he talks about here, there's one church that was rich. You may not have much money, but he goes on to say, you're going to be tested. And he says, "Be faithful unto death," last part of verse 10, "and I'll give you the crown of life." Jesus will encourage us when we're doing right and say, keep on doing, don't give up. And when our priorities have drifted, he says, "Hey guys, wake up, I love you." Revelation 3:1, the church at Sardis, "I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead." Woo! Man, I hope that got their attention, and I hope that brought some change. And then we, of course, go to the Laodiceans. He says, "I know your works, that you're neither cold or hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I'll vomit you out of my mouth." Jesus lets us know about our hearts. So let me just ask a simple question. It's really easy. It's really easy to understand it if we want to look at it. If we're willing to open our own hearts, just you and yourself, just between you and God, what is my real priority in my life? You may say, well, I'll put God first. And that's good. Those are words. Those are words that reflect Scripture. Those are words that reflect the proper priority. But here's the acid test. What does my life say? What does my thoughts say? And brethren, as I say this to me too. It's so easy to drift. It's so easy because of prosperity and ease to maybe let that fervor die down and we become lukewarm. I heard the story about the tongue-tied preacher that was trying to quote Matthew 20:16. It says, "Many are called and few are chosen." And he got tongue-tied, and he says, "Many are cold and few are frozen." And sometimes in the church, we may have let our passions and priorities slip. And so, again, as we think about that, just simple things. You've heard so many lessons like this. I know this is, those of you who've been in church for years have heard these things, but look at them again, fresh. Let's ask the question about ourselves. So some things we want to look at. Jesus says, basically, Paul said to Jesus, he says, examine yourselves, as Jesus says through Paul, excuse me, Paul inspired, 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Now notice this, do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? I want you to remember that phrase. If our priorities are right, Christ is in us. We want to make sure that's the case. And as James 2:18 says, it's not just what we say, but it's what we do. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I'll show you my faith by my works. Our actions speak to what is really important to us. So again, I'm going to just go through this quickly, but what you got to look at is questions like this. What do I like to think about? What do I like to talk about? Went to the barber shop the other day and started talking with a fella, talked about a lot of things. I don't think he ever thought about it all. And after I left the barber shop, I thought, well, I probably made him think I was kind of strange. And that's probably true, of course. But it's interesting. What do we talk about? How do we spend our time? And this is a big one. What do our relationships say about us? Are we getting closer to Christians or further away from Christians? And here's the question for us right now. Brethren, we've lost some things, haven't we? This is not how I would want to live my life. Although I will tell you what, living in this pandemic, with this life we live, 98% of the people of the world would like to be living it right now, or at least a large percentage. I know certainly in Africa right now, there are many that are starving. And even with our hardship, we are really blessed. But nonetheless, in this pandemic, things have been taken away from us. Answer this question. What have we missed? That's a very interesting question. Let me tell you some things about no pandemic, no earthly government. There's things they cannot take away. And there's, regardless of where we're at in this world, regardless of our health, there are things can't be taken away. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Difficult times actually can open up opportunities. I think there are a lot of people be willing to talk about God's word right now. They haven't in the past. And so again, another blessing, frankly, to me, is when we are hurting and we do see shortcomings, that is a blessing from God. God wants us to grow. And so, you know, seeing that I've got a weakness, seeing that my priorities may have weakened, doesn't mean that God cast me aside. No. This is a part of growing. This is a part of being blessed. There are times I need to hurt. I need to see my weakness. Because if I'll turn to God with that, blessings will follow. Have you ever met Christians that were miserable? I've met some who were miserable because maybe of attitudes. And they really didn't seem like they liked to be around God's people. And they really didn't seem like they really liked God's word. And you know what? Most of those people eventually fell away. And I realize there's some things as a Christian we grow in. Worship is something we have to grow in. Bible study is something we grow in. We grow, but sometimes there are those who are worshiping God. Their priority is not God. And let me tell you what those kind of folks are like. Malachi described them in Malachi 1:13. You also say, oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, saith the Lord of hosts. We need to look in our lives. And if the idea of worshiping God and being with God's people in Bible study is something, honestly, we're doing as an outward show, we're not happy. Or if one time we were committed and we still want to hang on to it, but we're honestly not where we ought to be in our passion and in our focus, we can be miserable too. You know, we all have zeal about different things. There are some things that people are zealous about that I go, ooh, man, I wouldn't want to do that. There have been things I've been zealous about in the past that people don't care that much about. There was a time in my past, I think my future is changing in some of those things. I used to love to run, and people said, look, you catch me running, somebody's chasing me. You better call the police because that's not something I want to do. I understand in trivial decisions that we have things we're passionate about, others aren't. There may be some teams we pull for in sports that others don't. And so we understand that zeal will go along with priorities. Now, do we have the right priorities? You see, the danger, again, we've been talking about is being a hypocrite. A hypocrite is one whose priority is not God, but they're all into religion, but they are doing it to be seen by men. Jesus, in several occasions in Matthew 6, just one verse, Matthew 6, 2, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. I pray there's not a single person here that is serving God for that purpose. You know, if they are, you know, you might log on to a streaming service, but then completely not pay attention to it. You know, there are a lot of things you could do when your heart is not in it and you're really worried about what people see. But let me tell you something else about the hypocrite. If God is not first and man is first, there are some terrible things that follow. There are people, it's all about themselves. And they don't hesitate to throw people away like garbage. They don't hesitate to destroy people that get in their way. They don't hesitate to keep within their heart all kinds of attitudes. And then oftentimes it comes out in actions and words and other things. You know, to put God first means that not only do we love God, but we're going to be very tender-hearted toward our brethren and toward others. We're going to be very careful with our words and our actions. You go back to the Pharisees, Jesus described them in Luke 13, 14. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Now, I'll tell you, here was a ruler that was zealous. He thought he was zealous for God's word. But listen to what he says. If he could have just listened to himself, my brethren, if we can listen to our thoughts, listen to ourselves, we should be able to see when we're kind of in a nutty place. He says, but he answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. He said to the crowd, listen to this. There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the seventh day. It's like, yeah, people come all the time healing, right? This is the only time in his life he's seen something like this. And he is zealous. He's zealous for a doctrinal position, because that doctrinal position was used to exalt him and not God. Not only is the doctrinal position wrong, it was all about him and not about God. And here's this woman who was in bondage, as Jesus describes. And now he's healed. She's healed. Notice how the Lord answered it and told this man what his heart was like. The Lord then answered and said, hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound. Think of it. I love this. Jesus is saying, think of it. For 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath. It is amazing to me when people get involved in a condition of heart. And sometimes they'll go on like doctrinal, zealous effort. And maybe the doctor could even be right. I'm not saying in this case it's wrong. And doctrine is crucial. But we need not only to teach God's word, we need to love those that we teach. And we need to be able to think. And in this case, you see the blindness of this particular one. And the Pharisees were described. And Jesus in Matthew 23 says, you devour widows' houses and pretense you make long prayers. And then he talks about the influence of these kind of people. Verse 15, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. See, those are influences that Jesus wanted men to see. He talked about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, which is hypocrisy. And this is something we've got to watch out for. When men are taken away and you love to be seen by men, then you may have an opportunity to see your heart. But now let's go to the other side. I'm dealing with the negative side here, and we need to see it. But oh, what a blessing when we get it. Oh, what a blessing. When we finally get it and we put God first, and that is the thing that matters. Titus 2:11. Says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Notice the first thing it says, teaching us. But then it talks about the eternal blessing. looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. Brethren, this is where we want to be. There's just something about letting God be everything. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Here he is, my all in all. He is the one that hides my soul in the cleft of the rock. There's something about seeing God's blessings, and that is the only thing that matters. It gives zeal, it gives direction, and there's so much junk that gets cast aside, and there's a great peace that is found. And so that's one thing that I try to look at when I'm not very happy. You know, one of the things I've done over the years, and you may have other things you do, oftentimes I go to God's word when I'm hurting and I see what I need to see. Sometimes I go outside and I just look at God's creation. And I may have these worries and I may be upset about things that don't matter at all. And I remember, look, God, you're from forever. I'm just but a bit of dust here. I'm a vapor that comes and goes, and you love me. And you know what? Knowing you is all that matters. Help me, Lord, reorder my priorities. Help me get rid of some of these burdens and worries that I never should have had on my shoulders at all. And let me see the simple thing you've given me to do. Brother, that's so simple. But there is the great battle. When our priorities are right, we can get rid of the junk. We can get our minds refocused. We can move ahead where we need to move ahead. We can be renewed and redirected. You see, it's God's grace and care that's at the center of this zeal, and then it directs me to others. Brethren, we got some great opportunities happening right now here in Auburn. There have been people who've obeyed the gospel. We have several that are near obeying the gospel, I'm hearing. We have an evangelist with our Hispanic group that is coming with us and already doing studies. And I want to tell you, brethren, evangelism. We have had a powerful evangelism program. I believe we can do better. But the thing that I want you to understand is that we have so much to be thankful for. Luke 15:7. Why does God rejoice in? The Bible says, I say that say to you likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And so zeal. Now, another thing about zeal, with purpose. What happens when it goes bad for you? What happens when people speak against you? By the way, you want to be in leadership, people are going to speak against you. You want to serve as a Christian and have an influence with others, people are going to speak against you. They're going to do things behind your back. They're going to say things without principle. That's just part of it, okay? Focus on God. Luke 6:22, blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Indeed, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner the fathers did so to the prophets. You see, this is what purpose gives us. We won't be sidelined by bitterness. We won't be sidelined by the fear of what may happen. And I remind you, Jesus was the perfect example of that kind of priority. When he knew the time was coming that he was going to go and die in Jerusalem, Luke 9:51 says he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. The Samaritans saw this in verse 53. It says they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey at Jerusalem. Having his face set for the journey at Jerusalem, Thomas basically admitted in John 11:16, he says, Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go also that we may die with him. Jesus' passion was us, our forgiveness. And he never yielded from going to that cross. And on that cross, he did not come down from that cross. And you know why? His passion was for the salvation of you and me. And that's why you read verses like Luke 23:34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divide his garments and cast lots. There is the passion that we need to have. That is the priority that we need to have emerge. Now, I know, brethren, as we anytime God opens our hearts, we see things that are not that great. You know what? God loves me. and I can have new priorities emerge. It's fascinating that when we do, there's a lot of things that bother us that won't bother us anymore. I think we're talking about drifting here. And the idea of drifting, we're going to talk about ordering now our lives with God's priorities. We can drift. The Bible says, therefore, we must give the earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. And so the idea of giving more earnest heed is the idea of getting serious. So let me talk to you again as an illustration. There was a time when I was running. I thought I was serious about running. And then I made friends with David Hartzell. We became running buddies, and he taught me what getting serious meant about running. And that was enjoyable, being around somebody who knew about training and working out. And, you know, if you're going to do something physically, you got to work out, you got to do things. And that was great. I enjoyed that. I've already given the illustration of not being serious about dieting. You know, I joke with people now about language that people talk about today, flattening the curve. Well, you know, being at home too much and not social distancing from the refrigerator, I have a new curve I need to flatten. And it's interesting when it comes to dieting. You know how you know when you get serious? You start giving some things up. You start going in a different path. Again, as an illustration, consider Zacchaeus. He was the wee little man that climbed up on the sycamore tree. He wanted to see Jesus, and Jesus came to him, and I had no doubt Zacchaeus was shocked. It says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. This is Luke 19:5, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Notice here, Zacchaeus probably started this day with curiosity, but notice what begins to build here, zeal, direction. Here, Jesus said, not just come, make haste. And you know what? Here is Jesus showing interest in me. I'm going to make haste. And you know what? Zacchaeus, unfortunately, had been influenced by a lot of these hypocritical religious rulers. The hypocrites who want to spout off God's doctrine, but they treat you like trash. The hypocrites who say they want to be ordered by God's word, but then they won't lift a finger to help somebody in need that may be struggling in sin. Matter of fact, when Zacchaeus came to with Jesus, notice what the Pharisees said about it, Luke 19:7. But when they saw it, they complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. You see, Satan wants to make you think that if you fall short, you're garbage. Give up, quit. Jesus, no, no, no. Jesus began to help this man. And you know how you know this man got his priorities straight? There's something about when you get your priorities straight, you are not afraid to throw anything else away. You're not afraid to give up things that once were high priorities to you. And therefore, in verse 8, it says, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Here is when somebody gets their priorities right. They begin to give up things. They begin to do things. And so, again, let's personally talk about this really simple question. I ask this about me. What's holding you back? Be honest. What has kept us from that zealous, purposeful, peaceful, active service to God? There are things that can hold us back. Our priorities get out of sorts. It may be a relationship. We're afraid to hurt a loved one. It may be money. It could be worry of all things. Well, I'm struggling with money, and therefore I worry about what may happen. Is God with me? We can let a lot of things, a lot of clutter. As a matter of fact, what it could be, it just could be, we're used to doing a lot of things that we're used to doing in luxury. Oh, my brethren, we got to battle for the mind. We've got to look at where's our zeal. Sometimes it's easier to crawl before that TV set and have no zeal. These are things we've got to think about. And so going back to that idea, is that, you know, Jesus basically said, look, I came to seek and save that which is lost. How do we know our priorities? Here it is, right here. Since I cannot do everything in my life, what gets left out? And there is where you find out. what gets left out when there's a choice between two things. You go back to Ephesus, they had left their first love. And this was a church doctrinally sound, but they had left their first love for God. And so here they are now dying inside, but externally they're still doing things that are right. They needed to repent. I appreciate Chuck's class he did on Colossians and his recent talk that he did on social media that we posted on our website. But you know, if your heart's not where it ought to be, start with thanksgiving and then follow that with service. If we can see we're talking about the grace of God that brings salvation. If we can see what God has done and is doing for us and will do for us, it'll help us to see there's nothing else that is important but that. And then when we see how we are to serve others, then guess what? We got to get to know others. We want to be patient with others. We want to help others. When God becomes a priority, then our choices will line up with those priorities. How many people in Auburn, if we drew a 50-mile radius around Auburn right now, how many people were once Christians that have fallen away? It would shock you. Our building couldn't hold them. 5 buildings probably couldn't hold them. I'm not saying that to be, discouraging, but I am saying that a Christian who has completely fallen away, it's probably more difficult for them to come back than it was for them to become a Christian. What I'm telling you, the idea of being willing to see your heart and be honest, there's something about the person who's been exposed to God's word and they close their heart to that for years. There's a hardening that's hard to overcome. So let's renew our conscience. Let's be willing to begin again. And one of the things that you got to do if you're going to renew your faith and have these priorities emerge is we've got to leave the familiar. Now, I think you're going to laugh at this one. I think it's true. Right now, honestly, things are opening up again on Monday. What you want to do that you haven't been doing? Now, this is not sinful. I'm just talking to you about it. What are some things you want to do that you haven't been doing? You know, one thing I want to do, I want to go out and eat at a restaurant. Now, you know what? When I grew up, we hardly ever went to restaurants. First restaurant I remember was going to was Burger King. And we did that once a month. And so it's interesting, now we're so familiar and you look at the majority of people eat out rather than eat in. And that's interesting. And there's nothing sinful about that. But understand, brethren, we've got abundance. I'm looking forward for the gyms to reopen. You may have other things you're looking forward to. But again, can I say that that's trivial? I hope more than anything else, we want to be with our brethren. We want to be in the assembly. And that's the thing that we miss. But again, it's not wrong to miss some earthly things as long as they're not the top priority. Let me show you something about Israel. This is pretty amazing. Israel, they were brought out of slavery. They were about to be brought into the promised land. And they wanted to go back. The Hebrew writer says they didn't mix faith, with the word, and that they didn't trust God. Listen to Numbers 11. Okay, Israel, you want to go back to slavery. Remember they threw the firstborn into the river? Do you remember the hardness they showed? Do you remember how they would have slaughtered you if God hadn't intervened? Do you remember any of those things God did, that there is a God? What priority is driving you to go back to Egypt? Look at this, verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who are among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." I look at this and go, what? You want to go back because of food? You want to go back because of the restaurants? I mean, I wish I could say this is exceptional, but sometimes I'm afraid that when our priorities are not right, we can become so miserable over some of the most trivial things that could be. And so let's not let these things defeat us, brethren. Let us not. What is holding us back from faithfully serving the Lord right now? Just be honest with us. Seriously, what is holding us back? Is it relationships? Is it worry? Is it misplaced priorities in terms of our work? What is it? And if you can identify it, then you need to let it go. Jesus with the rich young ruler in Mark 10:21, Jesus looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. And he told him, you need to sell everything you had. And rich young ruler wouldn't do it. Now, I'll tell you what, when brethren, when we try to hold one hand to the world and one hand to God, we're going to be miserable. And you will never regret giving up that which is in the way of the priority of serving God. And you see again, brethren, what may be killing us, and I know this is somewhat repetitive, is that we've gotten bad habits, that we have just had a divided life in our thoughts and our actions. And here's how Jesus described it. It's the seed that's sown, and there is a plant that comes up. But notice in verse 14, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. You got loved ones you want to be saved? Why don't you be asking for a study? You got people you want to reach for the gospel? Let's open up our homes. Let's let priorities emerge in not just this area, but in other areas. Rather than let our lives be taken by things when we say we're busy, and the truth is, we're caught up in luxuries. Jesus told Peter about how Satan was going to sift him. And Peter didn't think he was going to fall, but he fell. And Peter, again, he fell. But the Lord knew that he was going to fall and was going to work with him as he would work with us. And he basically said this in verse 32, but I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And his faith didn't fail. But he did have a fall, but he got back up from it. Notice that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Oh, that's interesting. Return to me and work and serve others. There's so many areas of service we could talk about. Being a godly mother is one. Teaching our children is one. Serving brethren is one, not just evangelism. There are many areas. Let's now bring the lesson to a close if we could. Priorities. Isn't it great for hard times? Isn't it great to finally say, you know what? I've taken some steps down a wrong path. And here's what Jesus says. Revelation 3 is written to Christians. Listen to this. This is the goal for today. We want priorities to emerge. Here's how it works. Jesus said, as he said of the rich young ruler, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Now, how do we do that? We basically say, Lord, take over. I'm going to make you the priority. Listen to how Jesus describes it. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is not just any door, brethren. It's the door of our hearts. This is not just any voice. It's the voice of Jesus as given through his word. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him. And he with me. You know what this is saying? Jesus says, let me into your heart. And when that happens, he's in control. Our priorities are now set. Verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. What a beautiful thought. Jesus in fellowship. Living in my heart, knowing my weaknesses, providing for my forgiveness, but my priorities where they ought to be. In the outline, I concluded with the question, how do you spell first? Some people spell first by spelling the word second or third or fourth. But as you know this verse, as we draw the lesson to a close, that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Brethren, let's help each other on our priorities. It's my struggle as well as yours. We need occasions just like this to make sure our heart is pure and we're in the right path. God forgives. God blesses. We would encourage you to turn to God and seek his forgiveness. We have those that have listened to this and you have not yet obeyed the gospel. Please let us know. We'd be glad to take care of that immediately. Unfortunately, we cannot have an invitation song, and so I'm going to close the lesson. But brethren, thankful that you're with us. Looking forward to see you again. Let us glorify God in all that we do and say.